meeting will please come to order. Time is 1:15, January 28, 1985. It's a regular meeting of the House Labor and Commerce Committee. Those present are myself, Representative Navarre, Representative Hanley, Representative Pierce, and Representative Boucher. And has everyone present who wishes to testify signed in? Today we're going to deal with confirmation hearings, some of the governor's appointments to different boards and commissions. And I think what we'll do in order to be brief and okay, for informational purposes, we've scheduled House Bill 56, Enact Relating to Motor Vehicle Insurance, and House Bill 79, Enact Relating to Financial Institution Examinations and Providing for an Effective Date. I'll add for the record also that Representative Davis has joined us. I don't plan to take any action on these bills today. I scheduled them so that we could bring them up at a later date without having to go the prior Thursday. So that we'll be able to handle them as fill in on days when we move things as rapidly as I hope we will. Okay, today we're going to deal with confirmation hearings of the governor's appointees. What I would like to do is I've made a list of who I intend to confirm today. I think the only one that we're going to hold over is Commissioner Lounsbury. I'd like to add for the record that Representative Copeland has joined us. And we'll deal with his confirmation hearings on Thursday. The others, what I'd like to do, if there are any objections to any of them, I'd like you to let me know. Otherwise, I'm just going to go through them one at a time and you can bring up an objection at that time, and we'll just pull the name off. If the objection is strong enough, we'll just pull the name off the list that I intend to send around for signing today and send the rest of them up to the Speaker's office for scheduling on the floor. Representative Davis?
I'll make my objection. Thanks, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, the first one we have is KMA, and this is a reappointment to the Alaska State Board of Public, the Alaska State Board of Public Accountants Board. Are there any objections? Is Rajiv Argava. And he is up for appointment to the State Board of Registration for Architects, Engineers, and Land Surveyors. Are there any objections?
If there's no objections, we'll just go on.
Okay. There are no objections.
Go on, Mr. Chairman. I just move them all, I suppose.
At the end. Okay. We also have for reappointment to the State Board of Registration for Architects, Engineers, and Land Surveyors, Wayne Jensen. appointment to that same board, Patricia Hartnell. Also a new appointment, Robert Perkins. There are no objections, we'll move right along to the State Assessment Review Board. Two appointments, Michael Salazar and Stephen Van Sant. There are three appointments to the Athletic Commission up.
I'm curious if you received any letters or any correspondence on any of these POMs or anything on any of these?
The only one I received one on, Representative Davis, was Charles Bogey. And there was a memo sent out regarding that one, and it is in here. That's the only one that I received anything on at this point. Okay, there are three appointments for the Athletic Commission. Tom Behan, Edwin Lawrence, and Dan McClinton. Like that, for the record, that Representative Collins has joined us. I'll ask for a brief at ease. Were there any objections to the Athletic Commission appointments? Okay, we'll move on to the Board of Barbers and Hairdressers. One reappointment, Carolyn Jansen, and a new appointment.
I have a question on that, Mr. Chairman. Aren't these barbers and hairdressers are scheduled for
sunsetting,
so why are we appointing?
Well, I think under the law, Representative Davis, we have to appoint. They have to be appointed within a certain time, and it has nothing to do with whether or not the board is sunsetted. Just if they're on the weekend, we can appoint them to the board and then sunset the board.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, I'm just curious on this.
The other
I think it's scheduled to go out as of the end of this year.
Right, I think that's right.
The other sometimes they have to have somebody on board to wind it down.
They're on a wind down this year.
Yeah. I mean, you know, whatever the final.
The other appointment is Yes, Hein, Bernie in quotations. Are there any objections? We will be taking up several of these, I believe, on sunset. This Merlin, I think, fills the statutory. Next one we have is an appointment to the Board of Chiropractic Examiners. And this is Leland Folkshire, Jr.
I
Board of Dental Examiners, Timothy Wooler, and Robert Warren.
Mr. Chairman, we, as an oversight committee, would like to hold these over for further examination.
Okay.
The Board of Dental Examiners.
Also, Carol Durfner is here. If we have any questions that we'd like to address to her, she'd be happy to help us with. Thank you for coming. Okay, we'll hold the appointment to the Board of Dental Examiners. We'll discuss at a later meeting. The next one is the Board of Dispensing Opticians. This is also one that we'll be dealing with on Sunsetting, but the appointments to this board are Richard Hansen, William Reedy Jr., and Charlotte Thomas. Next one is a reappointment to the Board of Electrical Examiners, Terrence Duzinski. Is Guide Licensing and Control Board. It's one reappointment. Edward Shaving Sr. and one new appointment, Ralph Spinner.
Mr. Chairman, I don't have a question of him, but I have a question of Mr. Just for curiosity's sake. You don't even have to come up here. When they give the guide exam, can Native people take the exam in their Native dialect or so they don't take it in English? Do you know?
I don't have the slightest idea. I can find out.
Okay, I'm just curious whether or not we have made that available. Whether or not when you take your guide exam, you can take it in any of one of the languages other than English. Whatever your first language is. The master guide up on the road has, from time to time, had people from the Oxford area who've come up and worked with him and have since been taken their own exam to be master. I don't know all the hierarchical levels, but they've got a couple of master guides now.
Are there any objections? On to the Board of Nursing. appointments, Connie Bertle and Effie Graham. Reappointment seems to only be for 6/2.
Calling a position, making changes.
Thank you. Are there any objections? Next, we have the Board of Examiners in Optometry, Jeanette Hobson and John Lounsbury. State Physical Therapy Board. Two reappointments, Morris Horning and E. Bud in quotation Simpson. And one new appointment, Merle Young Jr. If there are no objections, we'll move on to the Board of Psychologists and Psychological Associate Examiners. Reappointment of Charles Bogie. This is the one we had a memo, I believe, from think on this one, I'd like to hold it over just to have a few questions answered before we... It's a reappointment, I believe.
Yeah.
It is a reappointment. Representative Bloomberg asked a question about this one, and I think he... In fact, I think what he said we would do is, if we pass this one out to, yes, he wanted to look at it on the desk, but I'm not sure that's appropriate. So I'd just like to hold it over and see if we can answer his questions.
I think you could do that if you wanted to. You know, the town speaker do it.
The next one we have is Real Estate Commission. A reappointment, John Benson, and a new appointment, Barry Brown. We'll move on to the Alaska Public Utilities Commission. Marvin Weatherly, a reappointment, and Kathleen Whitaker.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Hanley?
I was just curious. I was looking at I was wondering about the compensation. Most of these boards talk about per diem, travel. APUC is different. Is that... I'm looking here when it's on one of the resumes, compensation, it says salary.
Right.
Commissioners, I believe. That's correct. Those are commissioners. APUC are commissioners.
And this commissioner, maybe you could.
It is a salary board, and each one of the appointees earns a range 26C, the same as a commissioner of the department.
Yeah, I remember hearing that, being very impressed with the salary that I heard from one of the members of the board. So, Mr. Chairman, could I ask what? Is the rationale that this particular board is salaried compared to all of the other boards? I'd like some background.
I'll defer once again.
I myself am not totally clear on that. It looks to me a decision that was made way back in the eons of time in our government. But there are about six boards that are salaried boards. And they are full-time boards. They have staff. Each commission has staff. Component that works underneath them, and in the case of the APUC, they're a full-time regulatory board on the utilities in the state.
Awesome.
And Mr. Weatherly sits in the seat occupied by an engineer, and Ms. Whitaker sits in the seat occupied by somebody with a background in either business or finance or accounting. And those are the qualifications to be even considered.
This one. Representative Hanley is also up for sunset this year.
Right.
And we'll have a chance to scrutinize him a little bit more during those hearings.
APUC is up for sunset. Well, I guess I just got it through my head that if these are salaried, these must be very important positions, and this must be something that is absolutely necessary to be ongoing, and it must consume a great deal of time. And then to think that it might be sensitive.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
So
in regard to Hanley, and these are essentially a quasi-judicial board, and people are supposed to be qualified experts in a particular field, and the theory they're supposed to devote a, most of their time to this function, but often by getting a salary, they're less likely to be swayed, as in the early days, doesn't happen anymore, of course, by considerations from the utilities that they're regulating.
Oh, Mr. Chair, I'm just thinking, you know, it just interests me that the salary range is one that's far, you know, considerably above a legislator, and it, if you know, this board isn't supposed to be swayed and legislators aren't supposed to be swayed, I just the rationale of the legislator, you know, and we're going maybe looking at repealing our pay raise down, back down to whatever, and this particular board is at a 26 range.
Your point is well taken. Representative,
just commenting on that, I was, you know, not in favor of the particular pay raise that went through for us, but I would agree to some, but I remember that the old pay schedule was exactly that which a Xerox operated third class entry level was getting. That gives you some notion of where we stand in the order of things.
Representative Davis?
No, I was just going to add that to Representative Copeland said, I think that was some of the people's rationale for the pay raise was that their salary was getting twice what they were getting paid, so they thought they should deserve to be paid more than the people that were on. That's all history now anyway. Thank you.
Mr.
There is some consistency to the salaries being paid to those salary boards and commissions. They all make a range 26C. That would be the Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission, the APUC, the Oil and Gas Conservation Commission. There's the five or six of them that are salary commissions. They are full-time and they're all quasi-judicial in nature, meaning that their decisions have the weight of law, the same as a court of law, and can only be appealed to the court system. So for whatever reason, our founding mothers and fathers set the system up. They foresaw these administrative agencies, these quasi-judicial agencies, and gave them all the same salaries. The one saving grace is, I suppose, from your point of view, is that they don't get merit increases every year. They get 26C year in and year out.
Maybe you could answer a question for me, being as they're all paid on the same scale, which ones, it seems to me that like one or the other would have more, a heavier workload or more responsibilities than the other. I mean, it just doesn't seem that if you have that many different commissions that they all would be equitable in terms of their responsibilities, and therefore maybe their pay should be adjusted. Representative Copeland.
I think one of the rationales also that while you're serving in that position, even though you have to be familiar in a professional capacity with a given field, you're not supposed to be working in that area during the time that you're on board, so you're precluded from earning your money in that field until afterwards. And in fact, it isn't immediate after. Isn't there a delay in the statute from 1 to 3 years? Depending on
it would be the same as the conflict of interest requirements. If you were in the field, you'd have to wait a while before you could go in and sit on one of these boards because they are quasi-regulatory. You have a definite conflict of interest if you've been employed by one of the petitioners before. And there is some talk about ultimately the state creating a couple more of these. Because some of our boards are almost full-time now that have lay involvement, volunteer involvement. But they're taking a goodly portion of a person's workers' compensation is one area that's been talked about. And the boards of fish and game have been talked about that way for years, but there doesn't seem to be a big desire to do that.
Is there any more questions or further discussion? If not, are there any...
Mr. Chairman, who are the members of that board?
The APUC. Mm-hmm. Carolyn Guess is the chairperson. Susan Knowles fills a consumer seat out of Anchorage. Marvin Weatherly, the engineering seat. Kathy Whitaker is the financial business background seat. And there's one more. One more commissioner.
Could I
They're all from Anchorage now because it's required as when they accept appointment to move to Anchorage because that is the site of the commission's activity. So they're all from Anchorage now. Once they're appointed, they move there.
Thank you. I have nothing against Anchorage.
I thought that would be interesting.
In the past, I think there have been people on from Ketchikan and Gordon Servants. Marvin Witherly, I think, originally came from Fairbanks.
Are there any objections? I'll just add once again that we will get to scrutinize the APUC during the sunset hearings. Next one we have is three appointments to the Alaska Workers' Compensation Board, one reappointment, Joe Thomas II, and two new appointments, Elmer Eller and Mary Pierce.
Are they in our packet?
Chairman, I don't know how if conflicts of interest enter in. I have a son employed by Mr. Eller. He's a personal friend, but a member of my family works for him in his business. I guess I'd just like to make that known.
Thank you.
How tall is Mr. Sir? I object to the purposes of records. So.
Alaska Archive.
Davis.
I was just curious, Carol, you did a real nice job yesterday of talking about the people that have been appointed the last few years and the number of women that are on boards and men. And I was curious, do you have any sort of tally on how many women got appointed this time versus men in this latest?
In this latest batch? No, because we try to keep those on a quarterly basis. And what you're looking at represents about 25% of all the appointments that the governor makes. About 25% of all the appointments require legislative confirmation. And then we do a whole bunch of others all through the year. And in the last quarter, we put an emphasis on those, finishing up those that would be brought to your consideration. So we keep them on a quarterly basis, not just by batches or...
I noticed that there was a number of women appointed here, and I was just curious if there was a real concentrated effort at this for these to have the women appointed.
Yes, and in the Occupational Licensing Board, we made a few breakthroughs, if you will, getting women appointed because in most cases the restrictions require being a license holder. And having been a license holder for up to 3 years or 5 years or having an advanced license or something, and we're finding that there are women out there that do qualify. Their names have just never trickled forward before. And so we're actually recruiting them and going through the trade associations and finding them. And the women tell us that they're delighted.
I'm pleased, Mr. Chairman, that you made that extra effort. I think that's, you should be commended. Thank you.
Thursday. Representative Collins.
Can we go back to the Board of Nursing for just a moment, please?
Certainly may.
I have a question for Ms. Duffner. In looking at the board appointees, it appears that two of the people that are being appointed are from Anchorage, and both of them seem to be professors at the university. I'd like to know what the rest of the makeup of the board is, the other members on the board. We have, let's look at two UAA professors on plus one. Say, Juno, who are the other members of that board?
If I could, Roger, right while you're just, you were looking at the makeup list of the board.
Which board?
The Board of Nursing.
I need a, Roger. Here we are. The other members of the board are Eileen Montano from Fairbanks. She's a registered nurse, a hospital nurse, institutional nurse. Savvy Rink from Juneau, a registered nurse. Alice Solomon, who is a public member from Barrow. Linda Todd from Fairbanks, who is a licensed practical nurse. And we have a public member, the Pastor Keith Weiss from North Pole, who also sits a public seat. And we have recently appointed Effie Graham, who sits in the seat designated as nursing education. Although she's a registered nurse, but she represents nursing education on that board. And we have just appointed Connie Berthold, and she is there primarily to represent the nurse practitioners in the next couple of years as they develop regulations over the nurse practitioners, the relationship with the nursing profession, and the legal use of authority that they will have in the nursing profession in our state.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Davis.
Thank you. I wonder if Ms. Durfner has any other backup material from the people from the dental board. Is this all that we have?
I have an enormous file folder on the dental board. They've been in the news a lot lately. but in terms of the applicant himself, or the two applicants you're looking at, that's what we have. Did you want something more thorough?
Well, if you had it, I'd like to have it, but...
Let me go look and see what I have that's not sitting in front of me. Maybe you have something.
Remembering last year's controversy?
Pardon?
Remembering last year's controversy?
Well,
2 years, I guess. Maybe we should just... Yeah. Well, that's not judicious.
Could it be possible for staff to research some of the articles that were in the paper last fall on this dental board? Was it Anchorage papers?
I know that both Anchorage papers carried all sorts of articles at the time. It must have been right after the audit came out, probably. Or no,
Anchorage papers, though. I don't think it was Anchorage. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Dental board.
Okay. It's there were some articles about the dental board in the paper sometime around the elections, I guess. I think the library might be able to produce those.
Probably have house research. Drive those up. to the Board of Dental Examiners and the Board of Psychologists and Psychological Associate Examiners. And this is Charles Bridge. And that was a sort of question from...
The others have been approved.
The others have been approved, ask unanimous consent.
Except for the commissioner.
Correct. Except for the commissioner and these two that I... That we decided we wanted to hold there. My intention is to hand the others to the speaker with our recommendation.
Mr. Chairman, will you just briefly review those that are not going up?
Sure. The ones...
Because we were talking a little bit low and I'm not sure if we picked up on the mic.
Okay, the appointments to the Board of Dental Examiners. Timothy Waller and Robert Warren. Those have been held over for further discussion. Also, the Board of Psychologists and Psychological Associate Examiners, Charles Bovey. That one has been held over. And the other appointment we have to deal with is Commissioner Lounsbury, Department of Commerce and Economic Development, and his hearing will be Thursday.
Thank you, sir.
The commissioner will be here to discuss.
The commissioner will be here.
His goals oriented.
Objections on that sheet there. I'll type up the letter. I guess I should have read the letter for the record. I'll type up or have the letter redrafted so that the two boards that we agreed to hold over will be held over and the others will just go on up to the commission rather than that draft of it. Just a scratch.
Chairman, just a general question. Does every board periodically come up for sunset review?
Representative David?
I don't know exactly when the sunset legislation went through. It was sometime in the late 70s, and it's just a chance for us to take a closer look at that agency.
A review time evaluation.
Right, and so that agency has to justify its existence, basically. It is sort of an exhausting exercise, but it's the best, it's the only chance we have to take a look at an agency once it's been created to sort of get a check on it. And I think it's had some problems, but I think it was a good piece of legislation. And that's the reason why it's been up for sunset. And I guess last year there were several that were sunsetting. They don't serve any purpose anymore, so why have them? But also gives us a chance to give input into the way it's being operated to for the ones that are up for a sunset.
It'd be interesting to know how many have actually been sunsetted.
Well, according to the sunset legislation, I think there's only about 20 to 25 boards that have to, by law, go through it. All the occupational licensing boards, and then a few others. And since that process has started, two boards have been eliminated as a result of that sunset review process. Almost every one of the boards have had their statutes changed, legislation tightening up things here and there. Jerry Wilkerson, the legislative budget affairs auditor, chief auditor, did a report, which had just dawned on me that your committee might want to get a copy of. He did a study last year on the sunset process and how it worked in other states and how it's working in Alaska and what's right with it and what's wrong with it, and some recommendations for some changes in it, most of which, from the governor's perspective, we agreed with almost all the suggestions he made, because from another perspective, we go through the same process along with you.
Okay, I'll have my aide research that, and we'll send copies to all of you on that. Representative Copeland?
One of the recommendations is, of course, that the period be extended a little longer. Some boards come up in 3 years, it's sort of like a revolving door. Mm-hmm. It could be extended to a little bit more. I believe, actually, 4 years is the maximum that the legislation allows the boards. We might look into changing that, but we should look at the study first. I think since that there were a couple more boards. I mean, Governance Council on Science and Technology, for example, last year wasn't one of the two, it was an additional. Mm-hmm. And I think last year there were two or three boards.
I'd like to read for the record the letter that we're sending to Representative Ben Bruceberg, Speaker of the House. Dear Mr. Speaker, the House Labor and Commerce Committee has reviewed the qualifications of the following named individuals who have been submitted in nomination by the governor for the following boards and recommends that they be confirmed. And all of the names that we went through today, except for the ones we held over in the commissioners, will be on that list. Is there anything further today?
Are we looking at legislation today?
The legislation that we brought up today will be held over for future meetings. I brought it up for the purpose of having it.